y'all doing? Yeah?
Glasses. So much trouble. When I get, like, sweaty, my glasses slide down on the tip of my nose. It's really funny. Any glasses wearers know the problem? The struggle? Okay. The struggle is real. Seriously, like, if I'm ever up here, like, it's just constantly the whole time. It's really funny. But hey, in case you didn't know, things are a little bit different today. But our entire staff, most of them, all of our pastors, they're out in the Holy Land, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And so just be praying for them, for continued safety, but also that God would just, man, just reveal some incredible things. Because I believe that there are some things that God can only impart if you go there. There's something special about that place. So just be praying that God does something cool for them. I know that he already has, but just continue to pray for that. I want to talk to you guys for a little bit. I'm not going to take a ton of time, but I want to talk to you about your promise. Your promise and your purpose. Because I believe that there are some people here today that maybe God has spoken a word over your life. He's given you a promise that maybe hasn't happened yet, so you gave up on it. Or maybe it just didn't look the way you wanted it to look, so you gave up on it. But I believe that today God's going to breathe some life back into those promises, to restore hope and trust and belief. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. But we're going to take some time at the end to really just minister and pray. I want to pray with you guys. I want to believe, because I already, man, there were some cool things that happened last service. God came through. But the thing is, his promise is always there. His word is always true. We just have to step out sometimes and come into alignment with what he's already spoken. So I want to read to you, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 28. My notes got all out of order here. Guys, I'm like losing my mind for real. It's been crazy. Here we go. But Genesis chapter 28, it should be on the app, but it should be up here as well. Verses 10 through 22. Just to give you a little bit of context, I'm talking about Jacob. And Jacob has just deceived his father. He's manipulated the birthright, the blessing from his older brother. And so now, at the age of 77, he's on the run. God, 77 on the run. But they lived a lot longer back then, but 800 years old. That would be horrible. Oh, I hurt so bad now. I can't imagine. 800 years. So 77 years old, he's running for his life. He had certainty. He had protection back at home, but now doesn't have that anymore. It's been arranged for him to go to his uncle's house or place, and this is where he's going to meet his future wife or wives. Long story. He had to go through the crazy sister. That's another message. But he's on his way there, and that's where he has his protection. But he's in the middle of this journey right now, and that's where we're going to start. So verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba, and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, remember that, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, which its top was reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. Remember, above it. God's always above it. Whatever you're going through, he's always above it. Doesn't matter. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. It's funny he said lying because he was the deceiver. Sorry. No. That was a courtesy laugh, but thank you. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called this place Bethel. Bethel, really. Though it used to be called Luz. Bethel means house of God, place of God. Bethlehem was the place of bread. Bethel, El Shaddai, you get it. Bethel. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I will return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Something I want to point out first. When he said, Jacob left for Beersheba and went for Haran, he reached a certain place. A certain place. God was pretty intentional about those words there. A certain place. Because Jacob had just left his home. He was on the run for his life. He was in the middle of nowhere. And he didn't know what was going to happen next. He was in the most uncertain situation. So God sent him to a certain place to let him know that it doesn't matter where you are, I can still bless you. I can still come to you. I can still fulfill my promise. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now, God can still come to you there. He can meet you anywhere, anytime. See, Jacob wasn't at his destination yet. He was in the middle of a hard situation. He was in the middle of nowhere, but that's where God met him. It said that when he reached that certain place, he had to stop for the night because the sun had set. If you read the deeper translation, it actually said it became too unsafe for him to travel anymore. Too unsafe. And it was pitch black. They didn't have pollution or anything back then. So I mean, very rarely do you have a completely pitch black night if you're out in the middle of nowhere. God made it so unsafe for him to travel, so he had to stop. Sometimes God's just trying to get you to slow down, stop. Shut your mouth and listen and wait. Because sometimes we're just moving too much. We're too busy. He can't speak to us. We can't hear it because we're letting all the noise and the busyness distract us. So God had to, he's like, all right, you're not going to stop. Okay, I'm going to make it completely impossible for you to go any further. And now listen. So he came to him in his sleep. And it's so cool to read this because he said in his dream, he saw the stairway resting on the earth, which its top reaching to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending. This is the first glimpse of what our job is, of bringing heaven to earth. Because the angels were going up and bringing it back. Going, it wasn't just coming straight down. No, see, it's our job, our responsibility as children of God to bring the kingdom of God here. And there above it stood the Lord. I love this because it says, I'm the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, of Isaac. He said all that because he's, look, it didn't start with you. I've been doing this a while. Just so you know, I've got it under control. It may seem impossible to you, but trust me, this is not impossible. I just created the world, remember? Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and the west. The north and the south, basically everything I'm about to do, everything I'm about to pour out on you is so much bigger than you can even imagine. And I'm with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised. So I don't know what you're going through today, but if it's not good, he's not done. He is not done. If what your situation right now, if it's not what he's promised, then guess what? He's still working. He's still working. He's still working. His promise is always true. Always. But we have to say, okay, I'll step out. I'll come into alignment with what you say. Because, you know, he wants us to have the desires of our heart as long as we're in line with him. The Sermon on the Mount, he says, whoever's eye is single, he's saying, whoever's eye is completely focused on me, if our footsteps are in line, then yes, I can trust you with this. You know, when you get married, you know, you want to talk about all the things that you're going to do when you get married. Like, oh, how many kids are we going to have? Trust me, like, just have the one first. Test the waters. See how it goes. It's like Costco, you know, you want to take the samples before you get the whole sausage. By the way, if you didn't know, I just had another baby girl. And, yeah, she's so sweet, even when she keeps us up every night. Beautiful baby girl. Vivian Starr is her name. My girls call her Vivi. But anyway, so yeah, you know, you start talking about all the things you're going to, how many kids are we going to have? But this one, like, oh man, how many pillows are we going to have on the bed? Anybody have throw pillows on their bed? Those are ridiculous. Those are ridiculous. Seriously. We don't have them anymore. But at the beginning, we had some, and I'm just like, that's when I first learned that you're supposed to karate chop a pillow in the middle. You ever done that? The thing you're like, what is that? I don't know. You ever karate chop a pillow? Yeah, okay. But it's like, why do we have these pillows that I can't sleep on? And I got to spend 10 minutes setting up and tearing down. Like, no, I just want to jump into bed. But I say that, anyway. Talking about Jacob, let's go back to the Bible. We found him sleeping on something that he wasn't supposed to be sleeping on. Took one of the stones and put it under his head to sleep. I never really understood that, but see what that stone represented. The stone represented everything that he was going through. This stone was the hardship. This was the uncertainty. This was the fear, the guilt of deceiving his father. If you look at Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That word purpose stands for his will that he has already determined. Guys, our purpose is determined way before it's discovered. Way before it's discovered. The thing is, we have to come into alignment. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So all his promises are yes, and they're just sitting there waiting for you, but that amen has to come from us through Christ. Because when we speak amen to those promises, what we're doing is we're saying, yeah, all right, I'm on board with that. I'll come into alignment with you. And that's when he's like, okay, good. Now I got someone I can trust with all of this. But what happens is so many times he gives us this promise and like, whoa. No, I was looking for an oak tree and this is an acorn. No. I want the finished product. Sorry. But see, what the thing is, God oftentimes speaks to us in seed form. And what you're not realizing is he's giving you this acorn that is actually an endless supply of oak trees. And you're just waiting on this. Oh, I'd rather have the full. No. He's just, look through my vision for a little bit. Because what I have in store for you is so much bigger. The east, the west, the north, and the south. All your descendants are going to be blessed through you. But you're just sitting here. No, I want this. John 1, verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Yet to all who did receive him, and to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we receive him, And then we believe. And that word believe is special. It's a lot more than, you know, it's not the word believe that we think. It's a lot more than just a mental agreement. This believe right here, so I'm like obsessed with the Gospel of John right now. I love all the Gospels, really, but if you look at that word believe, it is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke like 30 times. It's in the Gospel of John like 68 times. He's just trying to really get this message across that, guys, we have to believe, but not just believe, we have to fully trust, a complete and total abandonment. Knowing that I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know who you are, and I know that your promise is yes, so I say amen. And when we can get to that place and God sees that trust inside of you, that faith, that unshakable faith, he's like, yeah, I can trust that person too. You trust me, I'll trust you. Here, take it. That's why I love what Jacob did, even though he was kind of being an idiot. It says, you know, this is after he woke up from the dream. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. What that's saying there is, you know what? I know I'm in an uncertain place. And I know I'm in a really, really bad situation. And I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night. But I'm going to take this pile of mistakes and pain and fear. I'm going to put it right here, and I want these mistakes to become my miracle. And so he puts it down, and that stone that represented everything he was running from, you know what? I'm going to change the way I'm seeing this situation because I know who you are, and I just saw a glimpse of what you want to do. I can get on board with that. And so he anoints it, and that stone became the cornerstone, became the pillar that became the house of God. God had the promise waiting for him. Jacob had to come into alignment. And as soon as he did, God began to bless him because God saw that he was trustworthy. I think this is for this service too. If the band could come back up. In the book, it's Gospel of John still, in chapter 11, we hear the story of Lazarus. Everybody know the story? Of course. Lazarus come forth. Anybody remember Carmen? Yeah, if you're old school Christian, you're laughing right now. Lazarus, come forth. Oh my goodness. His human videos were the best. You're like, what is a human video? Don't worry about it. Oh man. Anyway, so the story of Lazarus. Jesus gets word, I'll summarize it right now, but Jesus gets word that Lazarus has died, and they want him to come perform a miracle. And what does he do? He waits. He waits. Because in their belief system back then, after a few days, the soul has left the body and it's impossible. That's when it becomes impossible to be healed. So Jesus could have gone on that first day, the second day, and healed him. And there would have been great faith. There would have been awesome belief built in these people, and their hearts would have been on fire. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But not even close to when Jesus came into an impossible situation. So he came into an impossible situation to show them, this is what you need to believe in. I've even heard that he called him by name for a reason, because if he would have just said, come forth, every dead person in the area would have come up. But see, there's something really cool about how they describe Lazarus. It was very, very clear in the Gospel of John that he was wearing new clothes. He wasn't wearing his grave clothes anymore. And see, what that says to me is that, you know what? So many people come out of their past, they come out of their junk, but they're not stepping into their promise yet because they're still wearing their grave clothes. You still stink like your past. You're still holding on to everything. And God's got this promise that he just wants to, man, just, if you just look at what I got for you, let go of the past. I don't care about that anymore. When we became sons and daughters of Christ, if you look, Paul, he was listing out all the things that we gained access to as our inheritance, as sons and daughters. He says, power over life, power of death, all the blessings and all the things that I have to offer. He's listing all these things that we have, but there's one thing that's omitted from our inheritance, and that's our past. Because when you accept Jesus and his blood washes over you, he bought your past, and it's no longer yours to carry. You can't look at it anymore, because now if you look at it, you're looking at something completely different. That's when the enemy comes in and he likes to twist your thoughts and make you look at something completely different. But guess what? Your past is not your past anymore. It's been bought. It's not yours. So let go of it. Something you did when you were 17 can't determine who you are, and it's not going to mess up your promise. God's a lot bigger than that, I promise. Don't let your past hang over you and keep you from stepping into what God has for you. Let's stand for a second. I want to do something. If our prayer partners can come in a second, but or you can come down right now. But if there's a word that God's spoken over your life, if there's a promise, I'm going to come down here. So sorry, camera or online, if you can't see me for a second. But if there's a promise that God has spoken to you, and it hasn't happened, or doesn't look like you think it should look, or you've just given up on it, I want to believe right now that God's going to breathe life back into it, and God's going to change this. He's going to turn it around, and he's going to change the way you're seeing it. He's going to give you some new lenses. I'm praying for God to give you his lenses today. But I specifically believe today that there's been a promise for healing for some people, and that you're going to get healed today. It happened last service, and I believe it's going to happen again this one, because I believe God... Okay. I'm not going to wait anymore. If you have a promise that you've been waiting on, can you just come down here and we're going to pray? We're going to pray and we're going to believe. Anybody? There's no promise. There you go. If you need a healing in your body, today's the day. And I believe that unemployment is really bad right now. And I believe that God's going to open some doors today. If you need provision, if you need life, breathe back into that promise. Today's the day. We're going to go back into worship. And I encourage you, don't hold back. Don't miss out on this opportunity, because I promise it's not worth it. It's so much better to step into what God has for you. And as we worship, just you guys worship along. And if you feel the nudge to come down in a little bit, come on. Come on.
Just what to
I know sometimes it's awkward to walk out in front of people, and so I understand how that goes. But I just want to do something real quick. If you can just hold out your hands, like you're going to be receiving a gift, because I'm going to pray that God would just pour out his blessing on you right now, and that he would just take off the scales. You begin to see things through his eyes, that God would drown out all the other noise, because he's continuously speaking to us, and we just... we let all the other noise distract us. So God, we just thank you right now for your word. Your promises are yes, and we believe it. God, I pray right now that you would just begin to pour out your blessing on each and every one of us, God. For those that have a promise of healing, God, I pray for healing to begin right now. For healing to be, right now, bodies are being restored in Jesus' name. God, for families that are hurting right now, that promise of a restoration, let the healing begin. God, you want the best for us, but let us be children that you can trust with what you have. So your promise is yes, and we say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, okay, let's... I love it when everyone's not sure. Should we clap or... it's just... of course, it's something to get excited about. But I know today was a little... oh, let me get up here. What? Okay. Yeah. I know today's different, a little more low-key, but... God can move through anything. I mean, Jacob was sleeping on a rock. But guys, just don't hold on to the rock anymore. Don't hold on to the past. Take that rock and make it your miracle. Declare it. Step into alignment with his vision, with his footsteps. Become someone that he can trust with all that he has for you. Sometimes you got to give away everything you have before he can trust you with more. But you're holding on to something you don't even need to be holding on to. Man, you can be seated for a second. I forgot. I was about to dismiss you. Sorry. First of all, if you're a guest with us today, it's interesting, right? No. Thank you guys for being here. Man, I'm just so glad you're here, because you could have been a million other places and you came here, and I hope that you were blessed today. First or second timers, just... we have these connection cards in the seat back in front of you. Please fill that out. Give us some information. We're not going to come knocking on your door all the time. That was a joke. It's okay. Some nervous laughter. No, we won't come knocking on your door. We just want to help get you plugged in, get you involved. And also, guys, if you have any prayer requests, that's what these things are for too. Fill those out, because we have people that pray all week long for each and every one of you. That's what we're here for. We're the body. We take care of each other. But thank you guys so much. We're going to have ushers on the way out that will take your cards. Make sure you drop those in, because we want to get you plugged in. We want to get you involved here at Freedom. But we have a few announcements for you. If you can just pay attention to this video real quick, and then we'll see you guys out.